ADD Cast number 17.
This episode contains foul language. You have been warned.
Welcome, everyone, to ADD Cast number 17, a very special edition in, 17 special editions. Everything we do is special. Not Special Olympics kind of special, but just, you know, overall good stuff. We are coming to you from the main level of the Deluxe Luxury Townhome in Vienna, Virginia. Joining me tonight, well, before I introduce the gents on the mic, I need to explain something to you. We're not burping tonight. No one's burping, and here's why. Mer Lafferty, who does Geek Fu Action Grip, has a blood condition that requires her to get blood removed from her system because she builds up too much iron in her system. And because it's very hard to do sometimes, she doesn't actually donate the blood. They have to destroy it because you have to fill out a lot of paperwork every time you go to donate blood. Now, I've had a few operations, and I'm very serious about giving blood. I give blood as often as I can, and I'm almost done with my second gallon of donations. So I've made a deal with Mer. I'm going to do 4 shows in a row, an entire month with no burping, because that's the kind of thing that disgusts Mer. And I'm certainly understand that. And in return, she is going to investigate whether or not she can actually donate blood that is removed from her when she does her doctor visits. So, that being said, let us move on with the show. Joining us tonight, we have Mr. Mike Stewart.
What's up? Mikey's like a toddler on crack.
So,
but for the record, I don't agree with this non-burping business, but I'll placate the situation.
You know, you do what you feel good about.
Man. All right.
But blood only comes from one place, brother. If you ever need some, it's only coming from another person.
No. Believe me, I completely support your endeavors in wanting to donate blood, but I don't support that burping is disgusting or shouldn't be on the radio.
Like I said, it's one person's
idea,
right. And this is my deal with her.
It is, and like I said, I'll placate the situation.
All right. Well, also joining us tonight, Mr. Adam Andonian. Did I get that right?
Yes. Howdy, folks.
Triple A.
Also known as A-Town.
A-Town, Triple A. There's all kinds of interesting names.
You have the man of many names. What does your shirt say? Keep staring, I might do a trick. And then again, you might not.
My wife got that for me.
That's very cool. I myself am wearing a dashing polyester golf shirt with a brilliant silver Apple logo.
That's a
from
super
the mothership. You actually have to go to Apple to the main Apple store in Cupertino in order to get this shirt.
So I hope Apple buys Disney, because then I could hate them both just as equally. It would be wonderful. It would allow me to consolidate my hatred into one company.
Because you're just all about the hate, aren't you?
I am. I hate those damn companies. Anyway, yeah, go ahead and buy them, Apple.
I don't know. Apple, I don't think, has done anything nearly as much to piss me off as Disney has. Disney has fucked with the copyright laws in this country for a long time. And some of the reason that they're as fucked up as they are is because Disney doesn't want the copyright on Mickey Mouse to ever end. And now they have trademark on Mickey Mouse, which is far more enforceable. Mm-hmm. But instead of deciding that they were going to stay, that they would enforce it as a trademark issue, they decided that they were going to spend, you know, put a few hundred thousand into the pockets of the finest Congress critters that money can buy, and fuck the entire country's copyright system at the same time just to protect the mouse.
Are you sure it isn't? It would not extend the copyright system?
No, that's what they did do. I mean, copyrights now last like 75 years.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that is that a lot of works, nobody knows who owns these things. It's a lot of work in order to find out who owns these things. So instead of doing the work, a lot of these things drop out of the public consciousness. Songs that you listened to when you were a teenager in high school, the ownership of those of that music could have passed through 20 hands. If I wanted to use those songs on this show, it would be almost impossible for me to find out who owns the rights for me to play it.
After 75 years?
Well, even after 20 years. So instead of making a reasonable system that would work, you have these things that were, you know, the crux of your, you know, formative years that are dropping out of the public consciousness because nobody knows who owns them. One example, everybody knows It's a Wonderful Life. Do you want to know why that movie was played on TV when you were growing up every Christmas?
Because somebody owned the rights to it.
Is that with Fred Savage?
No.
It's a Wonderful Life?
No.
Oh. What am I thinking? Is that every Christmas?
This is a black and white movie with Jimmy Stewart.
Okay.
It's a very famous classic.
It's a quote-unquote classic movie, which some people that I've heard say
that it's, a Christian.
That it's pretty much a mediocre movie.
Right. It's all
a movie. But the reason that it was played to death in years past is because they forgot to copyright it. It went into the public domain. Now, these days, nothing goes into the public domain. If you do a sketch on a napkin at a restaurant, okay, whether you sign it or not, no, regardless of what you do, it's automatically copyrighted.
What, to the restaurant?
No, to you.
Oh, okay.
As the artist. It's automatic. You don't have to do anything. It's automatic. If you wanted to put it out into the public domain, you really can't.
Well, oh, geez. Again, I don't really see what's wrong with that. If I had a Mickey Mouse that my whole company was centered around, I'd want it copyrighted for as long as possible.
Yeah, but you have the trademark system.
Well, I don't know the legalities between trademarks and copyrights, but I know that I would like an extensive copyright system that would allow me to protect something that I created. Now, if I wanted it to be public domain, it should be easy for that, too.
Right. But, there are other ways to do it than just continuously extending the years. If Disney had instead gone for a defense of copyright, where this, you know, instead of 75 years, the standard 20 years or 18 years applied. But you could renew it, if you owned it and were actively defending it, which would of course require you to register it, which would let people know where to find you. So if there was some song that made it up to number one for 1 week in 1974, it would have gone out of copyright in my world in 94.
Just because it's out of the public eye.
Well, if no one was listening to it, and nobody was making money out of it, it's out of print.
But what happens 25 years from now?
Then it's in the public domain.
I don't agree with that. But maybe that's why they call me a Republican. I don't know.
That's the whole point of the public domain. This stuff is going to disappear from the public consciousness. And that's not what the copyright system was designed to protect the artist. How does protecting something for 75 years after the artist dies?
Well, I'm not saying that. What happens if I protect the
artist?
What happens if I develop the jingle?
Yeah.
Mike's jingle. And I copyright it, and it gets played on a commercial.
Right.
I make $5,000 off of it.
Right.
15 or 20 or 30 years go by,
right,
and some coffee commercial digs up my jingle and uses it. And makes
and you
millions of dollars off their campaign, well, I would like something out of it.
If it were in the public domain,
I would be screwed.
You would be screwed.
And I would not like that. So I don't agree with that at all. I just don't.
What are you going to do when the when aliens come visit us and they have your jingle that dates back, you know, before?
Great.
And they built their entire civilization upon it because they heard it, you know, light years away in space.
Yeah. Well, then you'll have to owe them the royalties, kickbacks.
That's
off of it.
Silly and ridiculous. I mean,
I think that was Adam's point: is you were being silly and ridiculous.
No, I'm not being silly and ridiculous.
Typically these days, if you wrote a jingle, you would sell the rights
immediately.
But I'm not.
I'm using an example. All right, as an example, Mike's jingle is not sold. I own the rights to it. And I licensed it to Company A in 2005 and made $5,000 off of it. And then in 2045, I should be able to license it to Company B. And if they can't find out who owns it, then they can use it. But if I'm still alive and kicking and have myself there to say what you can and cannot do with my jingle.
So what if 2045, I remember your jingle, mm-hmm. and I want to use it in my podcast for which I make no money?
Then I would let you use it.
But I would first have to find you.
Great.
To get permission.
Life sucks. You know what I mean? If I was an adopted kid, I'd have to find my damn parents. I didn't ask for that. I'm not an adopted kid. I don't have to find my parents, but that's the shit happens.
No, but that's not why copyrights were created.
Okay, I understand. But all I'm saying
it's not supposed to be so that you can do something once and sit on your ass the rest of your life.
So there should be...
At a certain point, things should go into the pub... should become public domain.
You're basing this off of popularity.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you did. You said it goes out of the public eye, and therefore it should become public domain. So I'm saying...
No, I'm saying one of the things that could happen...
Is that it could go out of the public eye.
Is that if it goes out of the public eye, it could automatically fall. But if you have a company like Disney, which has based its entire raison d'etre around a mouse, rodent, vermin, then they could continue renewing that for X amount of time. But the way that it's going right now, Mickey Mouse will never go into the public domain, no matter how many thousands of years after Walt Disney's death.
And I would have to say again, I don't believe it should be in the public domain. It's their property. They invented it. It's a central character in the, and I understand you're going to say, but that's not how the system was supposed to be.
They did not invent it. Walt Disney invented it.
Okay.
And Walt Disney is 6 feet under.
Doesn't matter. Walt Disney created it with a company. So it's not...
No, actually... Walt Disney created it before he created the company.
Well, then when he created the company, they absorbed his creations.
Doesn't matter. It's the entire point of copyright is to protect the artist,
okay.
The person who created it, the corporation suckling on the teat of the artist.
Not to mention Mickey Mouse sucks.
Whatever, but still,
Bugs Bunny is where it's at.
Donald Duck wears Donald pants.
That's a great.
That's 75 years too. Warner Brothers.
That's a great example. Warner Brothers. So they're just supposed to let their creations of Bugs Bunny and all these great characters are supposed to let people just take them.
That's what trademark is all about.
Okay. Well, see, I don't care about the legalities involved. All I'm saying is, from a creator standpoint, my creation, whether it's in my company or in my name, using whatever mechanism necessary, should be able to be protected for as long as I or my company wishes it. No ifs, ands, or buts.
But right now, if you create something and you decide you want to give it to the world, mm-hmm. and put it in the public domain,
mm-hmm.
you can't.
I disagree with that.
It's almost impossible to put something in the public domain.
Only because of marketing avenues. But if I was a major company and spent a $35 million...
It has nothing to do with corporations. It has to do with the law.
No.
If you scribble something on a piece of paper, the audio we're recording right now is automatically copyrighted. When I put the Creative Commons license on it, I am removing some of the default copyright restrictions that are automatically placed upon this work. And from talking with people like Cory Doctorow, you know, what he says is it's pretty much impossible to actually remove all,
yeah, but,
like,
but,
all
but,
copyright.
But clearly that's where the problem lies, not in the notion that when I create something on a napkin, I'm automatically protected. That's a good thing. If I write a scribble on a napkin that turns out to be the solution for cold fusion, I should be protected immediately without having a lawyer on my left-hand side to sit there and search the patent data or copyright, whatever, and you know, carry out some set of instructions. This sounds perfectly reasonable to me. Now, if I want to make a public domain, that should be a very simple process.
But it's not.
Well, then there's your problem. I don't think the problem lies in the copyrights or in Disney.
I
hate Disney, but it's got nothing to do with them wanting to keep their copyrights.
See, I hate them because of what they've done to the copyright laws in this country.
Well, I guess we'll have to agree to disagree. Want to talk about religion?
Oh, yeah. Adam is steering away from it. All right.
That's my favorite topic.
It is? Any particular religion that you...
support?
No. That you support?
No,
that,
none.
That you wish to defile?
All of them.
All of them? All right.
I'm an equal opportunity defiler when it comes to religion.
Well, let me get a quick one in before we tackle the big one.
A quick burp?
No burps.
All right.
I was reading an article this week where they were talking about the origins of the universe and that... neutrons,
yeah,
which are neutrally charged atomic particles,
sure,
should be a little bit positively charged on one end and a little bit negatively charged on the other, kind of making them pear-shaped.
Okay.
Okay. Now, a neutron is a subatomic particle. It
sure.
is, you know, some gazillionth smaller than an actual atom.
Right. It's a component.
Right. Well, what they said is that they have measured the plus and minus offset, and it's equivalent to, now picture this, taking a neutron, blowing it up to the size of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
They can detect the variance the size of a bacterium on the Earth.
Okay. Very small.
In a subatomic neutron.
Right.
Doesn't it just blow your mind that we can? I mean, you can't see a bacterium with your naked eye,
but you can't.
And they can see this invisible speck on it, on the invisible speck of an invisible speck.
But that's because of the way they're reading it. See, they're not seeing it either. They're using probably an electron microscope, which is essentially a cattle prod's view of the particle. I mean, they're zeroing in using a almost like a radar, send out and back process at a very tiny scale to measure those things.
But just, I mean, just think about, you know,
Believe me, I think about it all the time. That's why
the amazing level of precision that's required, and where our technology has gone since, you know. Even in the last, 10 years, I mean, originally electron microscopes couldn't even see molecules.
Right. It's just a matter.
Clearly.
Right.
You know, now they're
measuring.
They're
components.
Measuring. They're measuring something the size of a bacterium on a neutron.
But I would
it were the size of the Earth.
See, I would argue that they did not measure that directly. I would argue that they measured the oscillation, perhaps, in its frequency. So maybe it's oscillating like a dishwasher would, perhaps, you know, a little bit out of sync. So I would argue that the way they're measuring that is some indirect mechanism, that they're not reaching into the atom.
Even so, the being able to pull that precision it's just mind-blowing to me that we can get down to sub-molecular...
Sure. And soon we'll be able to reorient the orbits of it won't be long until creating material is possible, because all you have to do is, you know, everything's made of the same crap. It's just it's all affected by the components in orbit and their varying orbits and like what level they're at. I mean, you'll be able to go in and move them from orbit to orbit and actually change the material from lead to gold.
See, now that's, I have to contest that, because when you get to that microscopic level of being able to zoom in, and especially I'm thinking Hubble telescope, you're seeing a delay in time. I mean, your instance data isn't actual.
That's not true. That's just stuff that's coming from far away. The only reason why you have a delay in time when you're looking through the Hubble telescope is because light travels at 186,000 miles a second.
Right.
So the time it takes for the light to reach you is that delay in time. But if you're sitting there manipulating a molecule sitting right on your lab bench, and you can adjust the components at a molecular level, and then even furthermore go in and adjust the what is it, the proton neutron orbit flight, you go in and
there's also the difference between lead and gold, I believe, is one proton. It might be one neutron,
but the point is you'll be able to go in and take the protons and move them in orbit, because it has a lot to do with what orbit they fly in. Like, if you have the third layer of the onion, so to speak, is a particular, you can actually shift them around, and that's what makes up, you know, wood to gold to metal. That's the differing components. So soon we'll be able to either A, construct new molecules in any material we want, aka nanotubes and things like that, and then B, convert materials from gold to lead by depositing protons in orbit or moving them into different orbits. It's going to be fantastic. And it's not far off.
See, the
100 years.
The lead to gold thing is not as exciting to me as the toxic waste into
blood.
Yeah, into blood.
Yeah, or whatever it is. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's not... That's.
I think they're not far off from manufacturing, though. Yeah, blood that's usable in humans.
That's true.
You know, I've seen companies with blood substitutes being shown on TV and in, you know, stock market newsletters. This company's going to skyrocket because they make artificial blood. I've been seeing companies like that since the mid-70s.
Yeah, but you're just now talking about the science that we're uncovering, and soon it'll be created at too low of a level.
But where with regard to blood, you're talking about an organic thing.
Plasma,
taking toxic waste and, I don't know, turning it back into raw materials, especially inert materials. Just something that won't do any damage. That's a great first step. I don't think we have to worry about there's plenty of blood in the people walking around right now.
Right, but the point is it won't be long until we're manufacturing one component from another. I mean, stars do it. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, this stuff happens. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
there's a difference between being able to do it and having enough energy to do it.
Sure, but the star does it with brute force compression.
It's not like, you know, if you get shot, someone's going to rip the bumper off of a car and stuff it into a little blood bag that's going to rearrange the atoms in that bumper and turn it into blood.
You don't know that.
You're right. I know.
You don't know how the technology could evolve. But typically
those things take a lot of power.
Well, that's because it's using fusion. When you take the fusion angle, yes, lots and lots of power. But what happens if you take the, let me reach in with my, instead of tunneling electron microscope, let me reach in with my tunneling electron proton grabber and mover, and you start reorienting things, literally grabbing things and moving them around, then that might be a little bit different of a story. You can construct something from scratch. It's not far off, I don't think. 100 years
and
is mine.
And these are the dreams of which stuff is made. And for right now, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be right back.
Good news, everyone. Several years ago, I tried to log on to AOL, and it just went through. We're online.
What is an uplifter? Science fiction writer William Gibson has a quote that says, "The future is here. It just isn't widely distributed yet." The Uplifter movement is dedicated to the proposition of distributing the future more evenly. What are aspects of an uplifter? Here's a list of attributes of an uplifter. Uplifters live within their means, generally comfortably below their means. Uplifters embrace doing things for themselves, a la the DIY items from MakeZine. Uplifters don't use technology for its own sake, but use technology as a tool for good overall. Uplifters support independence in all forms, independent blogs, independent music, independent whatever. Uplifters actively embrace citizens media, including blogging, podcasting, and vlogging. These are all proactive ways of spreading knowledge. Uplifters understand that knowledge is power and share what they know. Additional characteristics of uplifters. They are driven by enlightened pragmatism. They reject corporate culture and the false scarcity models they encourage. They reject DRM and usage restrictions on the media they buy. You don't own it if you can't use it when you want and where you want. They know the best person to tell your story is yourself. They know power is taken, not given. For participating in Uplifter Org events in your area, or for starting your own chapter, please contact us at the Uplifter Org blog, uplifter.org/blog. Bring what you have, teach what you know, learn what you need. Uplift.
If copper feel I must, then copper feel I shall.
Harold, are you podcasting again? I think you've done enough on that microphone today. Look at you. You're drunk.
Leave me alone, woman. I'm podcasting. I got 4 more shows to do.
4 more? You've done 15 already this week. That's it. You've got a problem. You need help.
I don't need help. I don't need anybody's help.
Do you know someone like this? Do you or your spouse have a podcast where the beer flows as freely as the conversation? Then you could be one of the growing number of podcast alcoholics. That's why the Podcast Widows Organization has started APA. Alcoholic Podcasters Anonymous is an organization dedicated to help not only those who make the podcast, but those who listen as well. Alcoholic Podcasts Anonymous is a self-funded organization committed to educating those who produce and listen to drinking podcasts. You too could suffer from this growing disease and not even know it. If you're not sure, then take the APA test. Listen to the Dragon Page Winging It podcast. If you find that you have an uncontrollable urge to start a podcast where drinking is an integral part of the show, you may be at risk. If you find you cannot listen to Winging It unless you drink along with Michael and Evo, you may need help. If you find that you cannot get enough Michael and Evo each week and often send emails asking for the shows to be released early just so you can play the drinking game, then you could have a serious problem and should contact the APA immediately. Remember, drinking and podcasting do not mix.
Go get me some more beer, woman!
This has been a public service announcement from your friends at the Dragon Page.
Say something, anything.
Test 1, 2, 3.
Anything but that.
And we are back, and I'm going to hijack the show here for a second and see if I can direct the topic into the crap in our devices that is currently known as DRM, Digital Rights Management. Do you have any thoughts on the subject, gentlemen?
Digital rights management. Well, I contest it. I think it's a means to a control that isn't necessary.
I agree.
I think it's perfectly reasonable for someone who creates media to want to protect it. I also fully support being able to circumvent the protection and use it for my own selfish needs.
See, you think about it for a second.
Sure.
Okay. DRM only works. The only time you can access what you've paid for is in the worst case scenario where every little thing works. So if you change a device, if you don't have internet connectivity, if the company that whose server you has to hit goes out of business, whatever it was that you paid for, if you know, hell, if you bought something for a Palm 3 and then you upgrade to
there's your problem.
A pocket PC, suddenly everything that you've bought that was DRM'd on a particular platform. Just one case.
I wouldn't.
It's useless.
I wouldn't buy anything that's DRM'd. First off,
I agree with you.
I don't blame a company for wanting to release a product with protection. They can continue to do.
The only company whose protection I'm interested in is Trojan.
All right. Well, I understand your sentiment, but my point is I don't blame a game developer for copyrighting their software.
I do. I think it's a crock of shit.
I think it's easily circumvented, well, and I have for years.
So. They're wanting to protect their media. I understand that, but let's change.
I understand
their
that too,
pain.
But I don't want to have. If I'm on the road, as I so often am, I don't want to have to haul 5 game CDs with me on my Macintosh in order to play somebody's game. Now, in the Macintosh world, there are a lot fewer games, hence there are even fewer game cracks.
Okay, well, I don't have to worry
like
about that.
No CD cracks. Right. But even when I had a PC, I had a 3.5-pound Sony VAIO, which had no CD drive.
Right.
So if I wanted to play a game, I either had to crack the DRM, a game that I bought.
Still, okay.
I had to crack their DRM, or I had to haul extra piece of equipment with me, plus the original CD around the world, take it through customs, right, and trust it to, you know, gorillas who move my luggage.
But do you really blame the company for doing that?
I blame them for treating me like a criminal. When they take the assumption that because some small number of people are pirating their stuff, and maybe some larger number of people are playing their game because they pirated it, they are making the assumption that they are losing money because the people who are playing the pirate game would have bought it to begin with. And I think that's a bad assumption.
I agree with you.
And they penalize me who have actually paid for their product.
I guess I'm just coming from a different perspective. I rarely pay for products, to be honest with you. I don't see any reason why I'm not going to be able to keep right on not paying for products. Unless there's something that requires, as you mentioned before, some type of dynamic or host-based, you know, authentication
right,
to user.
You wouldn't pay for those products to begin with.
I'm not real down on paying for stuff that I'm. If I'm real serious about something like a particular game, because I mean, let's first off, music. Here's my problem with music. Music comes on media, and I'm not buying media because I think that's passe. I'd buy it electronically the day the media is offered in a manner that warrants me paying for it. So that means iTunes is the biggest crock of shit I've ever heard of, that they're passing out hacks of what they claim is the music that they offer on a piece of media, which it clearly is not. So if I can have the parody of what comes on the media, I would buy it electronically, but I can't, and I'm never going to buy media. So as that sits, I'm never going to buy any music.
Apple uses a lossless codec.
No. They have created a lossless codec, but the Apple Music Store uses the AAC codec, which is a lossy codec.
Yeah, it does.
There is an Apple lossless codec, which is ALC. I don't know.
But it's not nearly as tight a compression. The file sizes are
obviously
significantly
because
bigger.
You can revert it to the original.
Right.
So you prefer what, you know, vinyl, and tubes?
I prefer borrowing CDs or renting them and ripping them into waves or something that if I really want it, it's waves.
Did you ever use, you're a PC guy, did you ever use the .ape format?
Ape?
No. Ape is a lossless compression.
Awesome. Very, very good compression.
When I want to do a lossless, I do Ogg Vorbis and varying lossless modes.
Okay, I didn't know that Ogg supported lossless.
Well, I thought it did.
I don't know. I haven't looked at Ogg in years.
Oh, okay.
You know, I unfortunately, I went to the mothership and I had the Apple tattooed on my brain.
Sure, but let me finish my rant about buying stuff. So
please.
Now that's music. So I pretty much said I'm never going to buy music until I can buy in WAV format.
Right.
Secondly, games. I will download every single game that is released that I wish to play before I buy it. And if I absolutely love the game, then I will buy it. And I can prove that. I mean, I have tons of original games that I've bought.
But I have
10 times that copied. Now, secondly, if I buy a game and I want to take it with me on my Sony VAIO that doesn't have a notebook, I'll crack it.
That doesn't have a notebook? Doesn't have a CD?
I mean, that doesn't have a CD. I'll crack it. Big deal.
Okay. But I support
virtualize
your,
it.
I support your point of view on that because that's what I did with Photoshop. You know, I stole it off the internet. I started using it. And the more I used it, the more I thought, you know, this is a great product. So I went out and bought it. And Photoshop was like $700. And for $850, you could get the whole Creative Suite. So I got the whole Creative Suite. You know what? The rest of the Creative Suite sucks ass.
Huh. See, I would never spend that money. I don't care if I was running an art business.
You know, for the level of money that I've spent on digital photography,
it's worth it.
I've spent over $5,000 on just on camera bodies and lenses.
But those are physical things that you can bang on, and it's hard for me to spend a lot of money on software.
Yeah, but when you pull the picture off, the difference between being able to move a slide bar to adjust to bring up shadows without blowing out the highlights, mm-hmm. and having to have a lot more knowledge and spending maybe 20 minutes per picture instead of 20 seconds, that one feature alone was enough to make it worthwhile for me to pay for Photoshop.
You do a lot of photography. I have
easily 15,000 photos that were taken on my digital Canon cameras. I've got a D20 now, which is just the sweetest thing in the world.
Oh, the digital Nikon?
Yeah. No, not Nikon.
That's
Canon.
The Canon D20.
Okay. 8.3 megapixel, and they've got a new one out that I'm trying very hard not to become aware of. I think they're calling it the 5D. It's like I think it's like $8,000 or $9,000 for the body.
It's like a 10 or 12 megapixel, I think.
I was thinking that it was like 17. I mean, it's just some ungodly number of pixels, but it's real, real pro level.
Speaking of cool things, by the way, that are impressive to think about, you know, like these things we toss around, like 5.1 megapixel cameras.
Yeah.
The CCD itself that does the photon detection that gives you the picture. That's an amazing piece of equipment when you really
actually,
get right down to
it. Actually, it's a pretty shitty piece of equipment. There's a better one out there. Have you heard of Foveon?
Mm-mm.
The CCD that's on the market now has a red detector, a green detector, and red, green, cyan. So there's three pixels next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they detect three different colors, and it averages what the real color ought to be from that. There's a company called Foveon that stacked all three of those, one on top of the other. So every single photon that hits, well, not every photon.
It is
but
every photon.
Every pixel.
It's every photon.
No, it's not every photon.
A CCD can detect a single photon.
That's, yes, certain CCDs can detect a single photon.
Maybe not the one you find in your
consumer
camera.
Yeah, in a consumer-level digital camera.
That's what I was talking about, the photon.
You have a pixel. Three pixels on your CCD make one real pixel.
Sure, it's interpolated in some fashion.
Because there's some interpolation. The Foveon stacks them one on top of the other.
So
as that light pulse passes through, it's reading the real values. It's much, much crisper and cleaner. But my understanding is that the licensing of the CCD, the companies that make the normal CCDs, have said if your company, let's say your Canon, puts out a Foveon camera, we are not going to sell you CCDs.
Interesting.
And that's my understanding of why this thing hasn't hit the market. Now, there may be a whole big other issue that I'm not aware of, but go and look at Foveon. I'll put a link in the show notes. But I'll put a link to their side-by-side comparison where you can see like the rainbow effect that you get when you take a picture of a black and white crosshair.
Like a test diagram.
Yeah, pattern. You get like rainbowing on the edge. You've all seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
You don't get that with the Foveon. It's crystal clear. But, you know, the Foveons, as far as I've seen, are limited to about a 3.5 megapixel CCD, which is roughly equivalent to a 10 megapixel, but I can't actually find one to buy at a reasonable price. The only company that of any name that's got one, Polaroid had one for a while, but I don't think it's still available. And Sigma, who makes kind of
Sigma Design?
No, not Sigma, who makes lenses for third-party lenses for digital camera bodies, or for SLR camera
F-stop
bodies
or something. F-stop mounts.
Yeah, no.
What is it called?
There are different mounts for different cameras.
Oh, okay.
So like Canon used to have just the Canon mount, and then when they started with the whole Rebel, they introduce the E series mount. Now they have the L series mount, and there are different physical and electrical specs for them. But Sigma and Tamron and a couple other companies make third party lenses, because typically Canon and Nikon lenses are just expensive out the wazoo, and you can usually save 30% and get a reasonably good lens from Sigma.
So I have a question about digital pictures, and if in digital rights management, since we're on the topic of it as well, mm-hmm. if you take a picture of, let's say, Yellowstone National Park, is that the copyright of the person taking the picture?
Yes.
Or the copyright of the national park?
It is not the copyright of the national park. It is the copyright of the person taking the picture. Now, because you're talking about a national park, it's a public thing. It's out in public.
You couldn't make, okay, that makes
right.
sense.
Now, if you stand outside of the Enron office and take a – well, Enron's a bad example because – well, they're just a bad example in general for everyone, Democrats and Republicans alike. So let's say you stand outside of AT&T's office and you take a picture of their big globe logo. You own the copyright to that photo. They still own the trademark to that logo. So you can't use that logo to do certain things. But if that logo is sitting in the middle of the street, that's your picture and it's your copyright. Now, if you walk into their offices and you take a picture of a memo, then you're on shaky ground as far as whether or not you own the copyright to that. Because if that's proprietary information and you're not supposed to be taking that picture, then you're stealing from them. I've actually gone I do a lot of bird watching, and I've actually stood outside of classified government facilities and taken pictures of birds and brought my lens up past a building and had a guard come out and tell me I can't take pictures of the building. And I offered to show him what I had taken a picture of and have him watch me delete it. Now, you and I know I could have recovered those through an undelete if I wanted to, because it's a fat file system, and all it's doing is deleting the pointer to it. But the point is, he was telling me, don't take any pictures of the building. And I don't even know if he has a right to tell me that.
Probably
but
not.
I backed off because I didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah, did he have a gun?
No.
Okay.
He was 200 years old. I mean, I can barely run, but I could outrun him. But I work next, different company that I work next door to, and I figured I'm going to be out there a lot because there was this nice little lake and we got some ducks and occasionally, some willets. And some sanderlings, and I just like standing out there and taking pictures of my birds. It gets me out in the outdoors. But I happen to work where there are a lot of top secret facilities, so it makes it a little different.
Yeah,
See, now
I don't want you taking pictures of the top secret.
Well,
building.
See, I have since found the pond behind the beer distributor.
They don't care.
Dude, if I were going to hijack anything in that vicinity, it'd be a truckload of beer.
Yeah, well.
Seriously, I don't want top secret material. It makes me nervous.
But you take some beer.
But I take beer because I like beer. I desire beer.
So
now I would not trade top secret material for beer. But I might throw, you know, some tacks in the road or something, sure, so that the beer truck, you know, kind of went flat and the guy had to walk back down the hill so that, oh, I don't know, maybe I could drive by and pop the side of his truck open and steal a couple cases. The problem is I'm always under the belief that I'm going to get some suck ass, you know, American piss water beer.
Miller Lite. My favorite beer.
Right. I'm going to open up the truck and it's going to be all Miller Lite. And now I've committed a crime for something I don't want.
That's my favorite beer. Miller Lite. Oh, yeah. I love Miller Lite. It's the waterest beer you can get.
That's like water with terrier piss in it.
A hint of beer flavor. I can't stand beer, so I guess that's why I like it.
You just haven't had any real beer, man.
Please. I've been to the Brick Skeller. Don't tell me.
The Brick Skeller. You've gone to a college campus? Oh, my God.
I ordered some crazy beer out of there. They all suck.
Dude, we will find you a good beer. Do you like wine at all?
You ever tried Guinness?
No, don't like Guinness.
You don't like Guinness?
Not at all.
You basically have not educated your palate. You have a palate of a 10-year-old.
No, I don't like beer. I don't even like getting a buzz. Do you actually like beer?
Do you actually like drink your? Have you ever drank black coffee? Just to taste the coffee?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, you've never educated your palate.
I don't like vegetables. Not a single one. Take vegetables out.
Not even avocados.
No lettuce.
Avocados are awful.
No lettuce.
I'll take lettuce because that's water.
It's mostly water.
That equals to me adding some moisture to your food. But no, I can't stand vegetables. Don't like vegetables, don't like beer, don't like wine, don't like champagne, don't like liquor, don't like anything unless it tastes sweet. So I'll drink a...
So you have the palate of a 10-year-old.
If you want to call it that.
You basically are looking for candy and everything.
But when it comes to food, I do love a lot of different types of foods. I just am not a big fan of... I have texture problems with food. It's not a palate problem. Because, I mean, I can eat sushi all day long and love... You know, there's lots of food that I'll eat, but... If the texture is presented in such a way, it really throws me off. You know, crunchy crap in my food throws me off, like onions or something. Like, don't.
I know a couple of people who have onion problems.
Oh, I hate onion is the Hitler of vegetables.
Hey man. What? Don't be going there.
Well, why not? That's how evil onions are to me.
You cannot compare onions, which have allowed certain people, you know, to subsist for. Eons
to the greatest, most evil figure
person who wiped out not just 6 million Jews, but
15 or 22 million Russians.
Yeah, not to mention a few million gypsies.
Sure, and I'm way up.
God knows how many other millions of people.
Right, but believe me, when I order a delicious meal of Chinese food and there's onions in it,
you're getting on the phone and you're calling that guy on the other end.
I feel like I've just been murdered. It's just awful. It's awful.
Wow.
I hate onions.
And we never even got to the religiosity part of that.
No, you don't want to get me going.
Well, just you know, encapsulate it for us if you are if you can possibly encapsulate it, you know. What? We're at 48 minutes. I'm trying to.
Oh, you want me to encapsulate my problem?
Yeah.
I guess in a nutshell, I just think it's amazing that. People put stock and belief into like invisible men and omniscient and omnipotent beings. It's just so silly to me. I don't know what other way to put it.
I'm not so much pissed about that as when their beliefs require them to attack science.
Well, of course it does.
This whole intelligent design thing.
That's because if you analyze everything we know about the world we live in, it leaves absolutely no room at all for deities and invisible men that listen to every thought in your head and then have a big checklist of naughty or nice. I mean, it's like straight out of, you know, Santa Claus. Same difference.
But that's what St. Peter is.
Yeah, same difference.
That's exactly what St. Peter is.
It's the same difference. Santa Claus is naughty or nice. God is sins. I mean, matter of fact, God and sins is there's more variables involved than Santa Claus, naughty or nice. All Santa Claus needs is a database of two values, naughty or nice. And you got God thrown into the mix. It's like an unlimited database of values. I mean, you know, you got pissing on someone. You got shooting them, burning.
Don't forget spitting on the sidewalk.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. So think about the management.
All that is he enabled.
Yep. Right.
And not, but there's also the forgiveness thing. You know, if you come to the church, if you pay us money, we will forgive you for everything. So if you go out and you rob and you rape and you murder,
you come here and then
you go to the church, or don't show up for your flying lessons in the Air National Guard while other people are really at war, we'll go to church, we'll forgive you, and sin is gone. You're forgiven. That's it. You never have to think of it again.
You can poke so many convenient holes in religion, it's not even funny. People that believe in the Bible will sit there and tell you all day long something that the Bible tells you not to do, but if you really understand the Bible, there are so many crazy things that are just either ignored and skipped over because people that read it go, God damn, if I'm going to do that.
That's it's, right. It's the whole thing about, you know, being gay is a sin. Well, in that same section, wearing blends of clothing.
Yes, exactly.
Sin.
Yeah.
You can sell your daughter because women are property.
Exactly. So it's all picky choosy where exactly. People that believe in religion, they like to say, well, being gay is a sin, but at the same time, you know, like you just said,
right, but hilarious, but they won't sell their daughters to me.
My biggest problem with religion is that I support it as a moral guidepost. I support it as a fantastic way to live your life. I support it as a wonderful thing to raise a child or a family in. But at a certain point, you would think that I'm getting a crazy phone call here. At a certain point, you would think that one would want to think about the fact that religion appears to be designed entirely for the purpose of providing a moral guidepost. And if you just look at it that way, you say to yourself, this is a children's fantasy.
Yeah, but don't you believe in miracles? I mean, when Christ walked on water and... turn water to wine. Have you had a miracle happen in your life? I mean,
well, okay. First off, the events happening that are extraordinarily rare are events happening that are extraordinarily rare. We just had a gamma ray burst that lasted for 33 minutes, 430 million light years away. That is an event that no one has ever seen, and it's actually mystified the entire scientific community. Is that a miracle? Fuck no, it's not a miracle. It's an extraordinarily rare event. That same type of event can happen in my uncle turning around cancer, my wife giving birth to 5 kids at the same time. Those are not miracles. They are just extraordinarily rare events. And when I hear people say, I've had a miracle because so-and-so in my life had cancer, and then they prayed, and 3 weeks later they didn't. Well, you know, shit happens. Just like 22 million Russians died. You don't think they were religious and praying to not die?
How many virgin mothers do you know that have fostered children?
Look, all that crap that transpired in the Bible is so removed from verification, it's not even funny. It's all these people that were completely ignorant people. They had no concept of dinosaurs and things that came before them, and they wrote. They're just people like you and I. They just wrote stories. And God, for all you know, was a dude from Planet X that happened to come by Earth to F with the humans for a little while. You have no idea. Maybe he walked on water because he could. Maybe it was a shallow pool of water and somebody made a fucking mistake. Look, God's walking on water, and yet he's actually just standing 3 inches deep in it, and there's a stone under his foot. I mean, that's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm not going to read the Bible and say, that's like saying... If the Bible states
that's like reading Lord of the Rings and saying, wow, this really happened.
Right. And besides, let's not forget that the Bible also states things like that Adam and Eve were the first humans and they fostered every human being on Earth. That's also like saying that
they had 2 sons who then got married.
Right. Okay, hold on.
Where did the women come from?
Adam and Eve had to have more kids, or Adam and the Cain and Abel had to F or whatever, or Eve and Cain and Abel had to F. But the point is, the Bible also states that Noah got 2 of every animal and hustled them onto a giant boat. That's absurd. Of course that never happened. Right. I mean, at some point, no matter how great your faith is, you got to look at what you're being given and use your own goddamn brain.
Well, it depends
on... And if X plus Y doesn't equal Z, well, then we just say a miracle happened here and we walk away from it.
But you're religious, I thought.
Me? No.
Okay. All right. Well, my mistake. Well,
no, I mean, I grew up Jewish. I defend my Jewish brethren, and there are a lot of people that I know who are people of faith, who are good people. They live their lives as good people, and they don't believe that in this religious extremism.
Okay.
And I have no problem with people who choose to believe that way. What I have a problem with are, you know, people who, because of their religious belief, because they've been reading a work of fiction their entire life, and to them it must absolutely be
right.
true
it's
the
closed,
way they interpret
closed it. Closed-minded.
Right. They're going to go fuck – they attack science. I have a big problem with that.
Right.
And the reality is almost no one in America has read the Bible.
Right, the complete Bible.
No.
It's so true.
Well, not only the complete Bible – but the Bible that they have read has been translated again and again and again.
King James
and, again.
Yeah, sure.
And unless there's probably less than 100 people in the United States of America who can actually read ancient Aramaic.
What about the Dead Sea Scrolls and all the other components that aren't even in the modern day Bible?
Right.
The Book of Mary.
And the multitude of
right.
religious, different type of cults, so to speak.
Sure,
you know?
Sex.
Right. And why is. Why is my, you know, I'm an Old Testament guy because I'm Jewish.
Right.
Why is your New Testament any better? Why does your New Testament give you the right to burn my house down? Why does, you know, the Mormons, even newer New Testament, give them the right to walk in front of my house and ring my doorbell, you know, and send 15-year-old kids named Elder Johnson to my door to harass me about my religion, you know.
And I don't even have so much of a problem with that. Spreading the word of your religion, that's fine. If you want to believe in it.
Did I ever tell you about the time I flashed the Mormons?
No, that's good. You had a robe on. You did one of these numbers.
No. I actually, that's kind of what happened. I was living in a house in Utica, and I had an upstairs apartment, and my upstairs apartment was the only one that had street access. Everything else. Everybody else came in through the rear, which is why I took that apartment. But somebody rang the front doorbell on Sunday at like 9 o'clock in the morning, which is the same as ringing it at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, if you're a normal person, because I was a college student.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, you know, I threw my robe on and I walked outside, and it was a double porch, and I'm looking down, and the people had to come down off the porch, and they didn't walk too far back. They didn't walk all the way back to the sidewalk. They stayed at the foot of the steps, and they looked up, and they're like, "Oh, we're from the, you know, Church of Latter-day," and they stopped.
That's awesome.
And I'm looking down at them, and it's these four heavyset old black ladies, and I was living in a black neighborhood, Cornhill in Utica, and they just stopped dead in their tracks, and their eyes kind of bugged out. And then they all turned around and left.
Sounds like a good plan.
What the fuck just happened? You know, so I stand up and I look down. I realize the knot that I tied in my robe had come undone. And I'm standing there with my balls hanging out.
Sounds like a great way. I'd like to do that, to have them come to my door, and I'll just open it up with it all open and just hanging out. Hey, what's up, man? Can I help you? Anything I can do for you? Oh, don't mind me. I just like to be free. That'd be great. I'd send them right away.
Yeah, well, you know.
Again,
it was an accident.
It's like I have this conversation with my mom all the time. It's like, you know, it's just kind of an argument I have with my mom. It's like I could never have a conversation with her and like talk about this gamma ray burst, for example, that is, you know, I mean, think about that. That, you know, 430 million years ago, something happened very far away that we just saw a few days ago that lasted for 33 minutes. It's been unlike anything ever detected ever. And it happened 430 million years ago.
Yeah.
And I think about that.
And gamma rays are deep shit, because they'll fuck you up big time.
Well, dude, and 33-minute explosion?
Yeah.
Think about that. Something. I mean, you think about a star supernoving. I mean, it happens in a relatively small amount of time. It's an explosion. Boom, it blows up.
Right.
33 minutes? 33 minutes.
Something really fucking huge exploded a long, long time ago.
It's ridiculous. Like,
coming this way. It's probably a meteorite.
No, it wasn't that. It was something
Anything that's actually got made of matter is going to be so far behind it that we don't have to worry about it.
Exactly. It's the gamma rays.
And if it actually does get here, it's going to be so fucking huge that there's nothing that we're going to be able to do about it.
But think about what it could have been. I mean, it's some. And that's the other thing. Like I talked to my mom about.
Think about the something the size and density of the black hole at the center of a galaxy exploding. You know, right. Or a cluster of supernovas.
It had to all be a cluster off. of 3,000 supernovas. I mean, we're talking a supernova explodes in like a half a second. I mean, a typical gamma ray burst is about a half second. Boom, goes off. I mean, think about it, 33 minutes.
Wow.
Okay, so that had to be tens of thousands of times the magnitude of a red giant supernova.
Holy shit.
It's the biggest, baddest thing ever detected.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not so up on my gamma rays, but I'm pretty certain that the ozone layer doesn't protect us from gamma rays.
So yeah, I don't think it would affect us, but
I think it would. I mean, it would depend on what side of the planet you are on. Hopefully,
yeah, I guess so. But it's pretty fantastic to think about something happening like that we just now have picked up. But that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. It's like, what the hell is that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in human beings are so, at least the ones that believe in religion, to me, in my eye, are so self-absorbed that they place their existence on this earth. It's like, what the fuck are you thinking, dude? 430 million years ago, something blew up, you know, so much bigger and badder than anything you can even conceive of, but yet your God made you and stuck you on this planet?
Right.
What are you fucking talking about?
And you're special.
Right, it's like right.
Have to believe that you're special in order for you to get your lazy ass out of bed every morning.
We are not special. We are an accident. We are not alone. See, there are probably millions of other civilizations just like ours.
I don't believe that we are an accident. I believe that life is endemic.
Okay, I can agree with that.
Was going to happen anyway.
Given the circumstances of different things, sure.
And that life has arisen and been wiped out on this planet.
Hundreds of times.
Hundreds of times until the solar system and the planet finally settled down long enough for us to evolve.
I agree completely.
I believe in God, so I'm just going to say that it's all under his plan. Because, you know, I've sat here and thought about it many a times. And just going back from the very first book of Genesis, you know, when they talk about, you know, do not eat from the tree of the good and evil, or you shall surely die. You know, the knowledge, the tree of knowledge, when God threatened Adam and Eve, you know, do not eat from it or you will surely die. Well, they had no concept of death because they had not eaten the fruit of knowledge. So it was almost like the divine plan was to disobey God and eat the fruit. And, you know, and then, of course, you get all sons borrowed from there. So, I mean, religion and...
So basically God said, don't eat from the tree of knowledge, knowing that by saying that, they were going to do it anyway.
Yes.
So God hasn't been straight with us from day one.
From day
one. You're saying.
So why would anyone believe in him?
So why would we believe anything else that he said?
Seriously, he's fucking with you from the first moment. Yeah, it's from the very first moment he lies. So it sounds like a great God.
If that's your justification, that's all part of his plan.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I
don't know all the answers, but all I can say is that I did. Witness a miracle in my sense and in my surroundings. And
tell us about your miracle.
My miracle is that there was one night I was driving home from a bar and I was pretty shit faced. I mean, it was October 31st of 2003, and I was at the bar. It was Halloween night, and just kind of hanging out by myself. My cell phone was dead, so no one could call me. I was getting shit faced. I get on the road. The next thing you know, I hit a parked car. On the freeway, off in the shoulder, doing about 70 miles per hour, and I shit you not, these pictures, I've got pictures at home, digital pictures, that you look at this vehicle and you're like, there's no way you could have walked away from that.
What kind of car were you driving?
It was a Toyota Tacoma.
You know, you want to know why you survived?
Because a fucking Japanese engineer knew what his job zones. Was, put the crumple absolutely. Zones in the right place, looked at a gazillion crashes of cars and says, if we stress the frame right here, the proper way, that the next asshole that gets in an accident, this is going to shear,
and going to have a great chance to survive.
And the cam is going to rise over the engine instead of joining you in the seat. That's why you're still alive, is because some engineer learned from other people's past mistakes. His knowledge evolved through trial and error of science.
Well, I can say I also did not have my seatbelt on.
Which could have saved your life.
I did not have it on.
Which could have saved your life.
Yeah.
Seatbelts are responsible for deaths all the time. Absolutely.
Well,
many accidents occur all the time with people wearing seatbelts, and they die because of the seatbelt. I mean, that's a fact. You can look up the data.
But there's a really big net savings of life there.
No, I'm not saying there isn't, but I'm saying events do happen.
I thought you were getting down on the seatbelt.
No, not at all. Events do happen where people wearing seatbelts or do not wear seatbelts. My brother had this happen, was not wearing a seatbelt, got in an accident, and the force of the accident moved him from the driver's seat to the passenger seat.
Right.
And if he was in the seat, he'd have been crushed. The whole driver's seat was crushed.
I consider that a miracle.
Oh, come on, dude. That's just what happened.
That's a miracle.
It's physics.
Dude,
I want a physics of a miracle.
I want to tell you my own little thing. I had a guy spin out in front of me. He was in oncoming traffic. It was a divided highway with a divider. I was going through a cross intersection. You know, we both had green lights. This guy spun out. He was in the oncoming traffic, and he spun out at the right point so that his car came halfway into my lane. And I was in dense traffic, and there was no place for me to go, and he didn't hit me. I mean, I didn't hit anybody else. And I have no idea how that happened, but I don't think God intervened.
Well, hold on.
I think that I missed the guy to my right by a millimeter, and this guy, when he spun out, missed me by a millimeter.
Let's look at
Did you think after it happened that I cherish life well enough that, you know, I'm going to believe in?
Of course not. That's exercise of futility. I mean, I cherish my life. It's got nothing to do with that. I mean, I cherish my life. I cherish everyone's life in this room. I really do.
After that,
but I'm not going to think that there's some governing body protecting me in any capacity.
After that,
the guardian angels.
I could not understand what the fuck happened to me. I could not understand how I was still going. My adrenaline was through the roof. I thank God. Looking back on that, I don't think that guy. You know,
let me take this from a different approach.
All right, go ahead.
Here's a different approach. Have you ever heard of the Great Earthquake in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Where the double-decker highways fell on top of each other?
Yeah. It was 80,
well, there's a particular show.
Like 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was a baseball game.
Right. Well, there's a particular show on Discovery Channel. It's called, I can't remember, Point of Impact or something. I'm not sure. But what they do is they take a disaster and they analyze the events transpiring up to that point and then analyze the events that had happened in like meticulous detail. They re-engineer the situation. And this guy on the double-decker highway, now think about this. You're on a highway with another highway above you. The earthquake happened. The highway collapsed and crushed every car. Everyone on the highway died except for a certain few people. Very few people. Well, they analyzed the exact car, did all this crap to determine how exactly this guy survived, and it's incredible, all the little things that happened. The way his arm got moved to the side by something, the way his body collapsed over to the right, the way he got pushed into the footwell. I mean, it all was scientifically proven, physics-based, and retraceable. So if you wanted to, you could reanalyze your accident in the car and prove with definitive proof exactly why you survived from that accident. And there is no miracle involved. It is physics. It is velocity. It is impact. It is how dense the object you hit, how dense your object is, how not dense it is for crumple zone, all that stuff. Your body's characteristics, the fact that you weren't wearing a seatbelt. You could definitively prove scientifically every little detail that occurred. And if you can do that, That's not a miracle. Now, if
that's not a miracle for you.
No.
That is actually, Mike is 100% correct.
Yeah.
A miracle happens when you cannot understand why something happened.
The definition of a miracle is unexplainable. And there have been occurrences that I've read about where they have been unexplainable. Or maybe the data wasn't sufficient to go back and explain, you know, people getting, you know, nurses at some place, and you
standing on top of a grenade, it going off, and you not being hit by any shrapnel and not being affected by the concussion wave, that's a miracle.
Or how about you jump out of an airplane and 5 feet before you hit the ground, you suddenly stop moving, rotate so that your feet are pointing down, and then land on the ground softly and walk away? That's a miracle. Because if you analyze a situation scientifically, no data could tell you why that happened. That's the definition of a miracle. It really is. But your car accident, this is a touchy topic for me and you, and I hope you know that I can debate anybody on anything, and really, it means absolutely nothing.
I seem to remember having this discussion before.
And you two are heterosexual life mates.
Well, yeah, we're definitely friends, right?
The thing is, I cannot believe in science to the degree that you guys believe in because of its weakness to prove absolution.
Okay? Well, what he's saying is because we don't know everything,
exactly,
then we must not know anything.
Right.
See, that's...
500 years ago, the world was flat, and now here we are defining miracles of life.
Wait a sec. First of all, if you look at the statue of Atlas, what's on Atlas's shoulder? A globe. The world was never flat. No one believed the world was flat. Washington Irving and some very few people wanted to make you think that you were so much more highly evolved than the people who lived even 3,000, 4,000 years ago, that they want you to believe that people thought the world was flat. No one thought the world was flat.
But he's using it as an example, and I know what he's saying, but I would say to that science and understanding is about baby steps. You have to learn a little bit before you can learn more.
That's
just the way it works.
But it's also about being able to test and reproduce what you have and change if the data shows something different happening.
Science is not a belief. It isn't there to topple down religion. All it is the truth.
Well, you could say it's another means of fabrication for the missing link to why things are the way they are.
I don't understand what you mean by that.
Yeah.
What I mean by, like, for instance, this wall over here, you say it's red. What if it's really black? I mean,
but that's irrelevant.
It's not irrelevant because we wrap around a definition that mankind has created.
That's an issue of perception. The frequency of light that is reflected off this wall has been determined to be red by group agreement. So that's not really
by man's agreement.
No, it's actually a physical thing. You can measure the light hitting
Who laid down that color red is what it is?
It's just a word to describe what it is.
Correct, that's what I think science is all about.
But
too.
It's a word to describe a specific set of frequencies of light.
Okay.
But that's an invalid comparison because
it isn't invalid. Religious is a difficult topic for me. I mean, it's just like politics. When you get everyone's kind of got their own ways, and of course we're going to have our own little arguments. But until we can prove an absolution of what science really is, we can't even wrap our minds around mathematical infinity. We're not going to be able to solve the mystery of life in the grandest question of it all.
If you ask me, not being able to wrap your minds around mathematical infinity is exactly one of the reasons why religion exists. Because if we were a species that did not have a beginning and an end, if we lived forever, God would have never been invented because we would have had no reason
It's quite possible.
Because why invent a need to explain where you came from and where you go? I mean, let's think about that. Mankind loves to create things regarding what they don't understand. And my favorite example is the Egyptians used to think a fiery chariot rode across the sky every day, and that's how the sun rose.
It was a dung beetle that pushed the sun across the sky.
Whatever it was. Now we know how it really works, so we're kind of left with less questions now. Our questions are getting fewer and fewer, and one of the ones we can't explain, which is what you call absolution, is where we came from and where we're going. It's a very philosophical question. But that does not mean a God put us here because we don't understand it. Someday we will understand it. And then once we do, and we say, this is why we're here, then what happens to
creativity? You
want to
know the answer to why you're here? You want to know the reason of life? I can give it to you. I got it.
I already have it. I mean, my own reason. I'd like to know
yours. You're here to reproduce, raise the next generation, and die.
That's exactly what you're
That's exactly what you're here to. You are here to fight all your life, to work, to raise your offspring, and die and get out of the way.
And do some podcasts, too.
Yeah, if you're podcasting along the way, you happen to have a little beer, a little pot, a little coffee, whatever.
Right.
Enjoy it. But you're born, you die, and it's what you do in the middle that counts. What you believe doesn't mean shit.
No, I agree.
Because in the end, you're dead.
But look at microscopic organisms like viruses, and look at how they go through evolutionary steps at a fast-forwarded pace. You can look at a virus and see evolution work. It works right in front of you because they live and die billions of times over in little tiny pools, and they evolve. I mean, evolution is proved on that scale right there.
You can see that with the avian flu.
Exactly. Same exact
thing. All of the flus that you had when you were growing up in the 60s and the 70s, came from the same place that the flu comes from now. It came slower, and there were less people on the planet. Which made it a lot harder for them to get here. They were way less deadly. Now, these days, people are packed in really tight, and the reason I've heard several people say, "Oh, it's a miracle that the bird flu, epidemic hasn't broken out." It's not a miracle. It's the Korean and the Chinese governments radically changing the way their citizens deal with live poultry.
Yeah, they exterminate millions of them.
Right now, the way the culture is in Korea and China, if you want to have duck, if you want to have chicken for the whole next week, you go down to the market every couple of days and you pick up a couple of live ones and you either butcher them at home or you take them to somebody who has a little butcher's block and stands there slicing up live birds all day with blood and shit and all other parts gathering around them. In 10 years in Korea and China, they're going to be buying chicken the way we do, which is frozen in a bag, having been butchered in a sterile, controlled environment. This is the first time that they have ever gone in and fucked with their citizens and the way their citizens eat poultry.
Good.
And that is why the bird flu is not coming this year in anywhere near as bad as it is, because the actual version of the bird flu, you had the exact definition earlier.
A5N1.
Yeah. A5N1 has everybody scared out of their wits.
Yeah, it's got a 60% fatal rate.
And the idiots in this country who think that if they just sit down and pray they're going to be fine, I got a problem with, because they are willfully ignoring what is going on, which if I can find out about it, so can they.
Well, of course.
Yeah. I'm livid. I'm shaking with anger at that kind of attitude.
Let it out.
No, I was down south. We went to visit my mother-in-law down in Mississippi.
Did they throw one of the pray and everything will be okay lines
at you? I heard some people talking about how the bird flu was all bullshit and all we have to do is pray and we'll be all right. And this was at a church pancake breakfast thing.
Give us some money, too.
And I just wanted to unload on these people.
Oh, yeah, that would drive me absolutely effing crazy. I'd go nuts.
Seriously. I am so glad to be back. I'm so glad we brought this up.
I would just love to find out what God's plan was when 30 million people died in World War II. I really would love to understand that. You know, and all of them had to be praying for life.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
You know, that's a large population of people saying, I don't want to die.
Right.
And they all died.
Right.
They're all dead. And bad ways, too. Like horrible deaths.
Right. And you know, all of our soldiers that are getting blown up by roadside bombs. You know,
it's horrible stuff.
They're praying too. Why is it that when shit happens, God can have a plan? But if you win the lottery, then the church wants their share of it.
Well,
now, the government's entitled to their share.
Well, yeah, but...
I drive on their roads.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I you know, government needs to tax things.
Yeah, they do. That's...
Yeah.
I want my share, but I ain't going to get it. You know? I'm lucky if I get a, you know, a raise that outpaces inflation every year. You know? But... That's. I think that's going to do it for us tonight. We're running really long tonight, folks. So thank you very much for hanging in with us. This podcast is released under a Commercial Commons 2.5 attribution required non-commercial license. And I would like to thank Mr. Mike Stewart and Mr. AAA, Adam Andonian. And also to let you know, we have a new logo. So you'll be seeing some new artwork from us, and hopefully that'll get us featured on iTunes and Podcast Pickle, because unless you have good artwork, nobody cares about you in the podcast world. So now, thanks to Miss Georgia from Mobile, Alabama, we have some fantastic artwork. And tonight's song is called Skull Crusher Mountain. It comes to us from Jonathan Colton, also under a Commercial Commons license. And this is Paul Fisher for the ADD cast, reminding you that you can't control the stimulus, control the response.
Welcome to my secret lair on Skull Crusher Mountain. I hope that you've enjoyed your stay so far. I see you met my assistant Scarface. His appearance is quite disturbing, but I assure you he's harmless enough. He's a sweetheart, calls me master, and he has a way of finding pretty things and bringing them to me. This half pony, half monkey monster to please you, but I get the feeling that you don't like it. What's with all the screaming? You like monkeys, you like ponies. Maybe you don't like monsters so much. Maybe I use too many monkeys. Isn't it enough to know that I ruined a pony, making a gift for you? Ignites the atmosphere, and all the fools who lead their foolish lives may find it quite explosive. Well, it won't mean half as much to me if I don't have you here. No, it isn't easy living here on Skull Crusher Mountain. So maybe you could cut me just a little slack. Would it kill you to be civil? I've been patient, I've been gracious, and this mountain is covered with wolves. Hear them howling, my hungry children. They maybe you should stay and have another drink and think about me and you.